This is Dr. Cassieri from Andersonville Baptist Seminary as we continue our study in the course entitled The Doctrine of Christ. We're going to begin on tape number 4, side 1. We'll begin lesson number 6, which is entitled The Humanity of Christ. And under lesson number 6, we'll be looking at 9 areas. We'll start off with an introduction, and then we'll see Jesus was given human names. Jesus had human ancestry. Jesus possessed a physical nature. Jesus was subject to the laws of human development. Jesus was moved by the instincts of normal human beings. Jesus possessed body, soul, and spirit. Jesus died, and then finally, conclusion. So let's begin lesson number 6, the humanity of Christ, with a little bit of an introduction. In order to be the Savior, Jesus had to be not only divine and virgin born, but he must also be a true man. He was like us in every respect, except he was without sin. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 5, 1 Timothy, let's turn there to 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 5, the Word of God says, "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." It says the man, Christ Jesus. There's a human side, amen? Jesus had to be made like unto us in order to be, as it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, in order to be a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Jesus was born under the law that he might redeem us from the law. Look with me in Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4 with me. In Galatians 4, we want to look at verses 4 and 5. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." And why did he do that? In verse 5, "to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." The first Adam brought death. Christ, who is also referred to as the second Adam, brought resurrection in life. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is often referred to as the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 21 to 22. The Word of God says, "For since by man came death," and of course talking about Adam, the first Adam, "by man came also the resurrection of the dead," talking about Jesus Christ. And then in verse 22, for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So we see the first Adam brought death and sin into the world. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, brought resurrection and life to all that would believe on him. Now, in this lesson, as we look at the humanity of Christ, we present some of the proofs of the humanity of Christ. Now we want to look at, as we're looking at our outline on the lesson number 6, we want to look at item B, Jesus given human names. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, the Gospel of Matthew in chapter number 1 with me. In Matthew chapter 1, in verse number 21, we read, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." We see that he was given a human name, or was going to be given a human name, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus," and we see this fulfilled, amen, in verse 23 to 25. Let's read that together. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." So we see that he was given a human name, Jesus. And then we had just read also in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, that Jesus is distinctly called a man. And then we notice the phrase, "Son of Man," which emphasizes Jesus' humanity, occurs 77 times. Look, for example, in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 19. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse number 10. "For the Son of Man," you see that? "For the Son of Man," referring to Jesus Christ, "for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." So we see that the Son of Man is used, occurs 77 times, and it refers or emphasizes the humanity of Jesus Christ. And then we're told in the book of Acts in chapter 7, Stephen, just before his death, saw Jesus and called him Son of Man. Let's turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7 and verse number 56. We'll begin in verse 55. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost," that's talking about Stephen now, "looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Again, referring to Jesus Christ. So we see then, as we're in lesson number 6, the humanity of Christ, that one of the proofs of his humanity is Jesus was given human names. Now, on item C, we want to look at Jesus had human ancestry. For Jesus to be human, he must have a human parent, which he did in the person of his mother, Mary. Let's look at Luke, the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2, in verse number 7. It says in Luke 2:7, "And she," referring to Mary, "brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Mary brought her firstborn son, Jesus, amen, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. So we see that he did have a human mother. And then we read a little while ago in our introduction in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son and made of a woman made under the law." So again, showing that Jesus did have human ancestry in Mary. And then Jesus was born of the seed in lineage of David. And we see this in Acts chapter 13. Let's turn to Acts chapter 13 together. And we'll want to examine verse 23 in Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 23. It says, "Of this man's seed," referring to David, "hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." And then the genealogy in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 1 of Matthew, verses 1 through 16, we won't read that, but it traces the ancestry from Abraham to Christ. And then we read in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews with me now, chapter 7, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7, in verse number 14, we read, "For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood." So we see then that Jesus had, as we're looking on the lesson 6 now, the humanity of Christ, we're looking at proofs, or some of the proofs of the humanity of Christ. We saw that Jesus was given human names, and now we see that Jesus had human ancestry. His mother was human, Mary. We were told in Galatians 4:4 that he was made of a woman, and that he was of the seed of David. And we see him listed in the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 16, the genealogy from Abraham to Christ. And then we see that in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14, we're told that he comes from the tribe of Judah. Now let's look at item D under the lesson 6, the humanity of Christ, which is Jesus possessed a physical nature. Look with me, if you would, first of all, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. The Gospel of John, chapter number 1 with me. In John chapter number 1, we want to look at verse number 14. Notice what it says. "And the Word was made flesh." When it says the Word was made flesh, it's talking about was given a human nature, amen, and dwelt among us. Then in Hebrews chapter 2 with me, the book of Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews 2, we want to look at verse number 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh in blood, he also," talking about Jesus, "himself likewise took part of the same." In other words, he had flesh and blood also. He possessed a physical nature. In fact, we're told to not confess that Jesus Christ is a man, that he came in as a man, is a mark of the Antichrist. We see this stated in the first general epistle of John, first general epistle of John, in chapter number 4, in verse 3. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, we read, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world." So then we see here, as we're looking at some proofs of Christ's humanity, that Jesus possessed a physical nature. Now, let's look at item E. Jesus was subject to the laws of human development. For example, let's turn to Luke chapter 2 with me, the Gospel of Luke, in chapter number 2. We're told that Jesus grew, amen, like any other human being would. Luke chapter 2, in verse 40. And the child grew, referring to Jesus, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and grace, and the grace of God was upon him. So we see that Jesus grew. We also see, as we're looking at Jesus was subject to the laws of human nature, that like any other human being, he asked questions. Looking in Luke chapter 2, in verse number 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him, referring to Jesus, in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. We also just read, or we will read, and let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 52, that he increased in wisdom. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So he, as a human being develops, he grew in wisdom. Also, he learned obedience. He learned obedience. Look at in Hebrews chapter 5 with me. Hebrews chapter 5, and we want to look at verse number 8 in Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, 8. Though he were a son, talking about Jesus, capital S, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So he learned obedience, again showing that Jesus was subject to the laws of human development. Also, he suffered, like every human being suffers. Look at in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For in that he, referring to Jesus, himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So we see that he suffered. We see that Jesus suffered. And we also read in Hebrews, in that same chapter of Hebrews, chapter 2 and verse 10, we read, for it became him for whom are all things, in whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And then we see that, again, as we were looking at some proofs of Christ's humanity and with seeing how Jesus was subject to the laws of human development, we see that he worked. That he worked as a carpenter to the age of 30. Look at in Mark chapter 6 with me, the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, in verse number 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. So we see that he was a carpenter. Up until the age of 30, because that's when he began his public ministry. Also, we see also in Luke 3:23, Luke 3:23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. So we see that he was a carpenter up until about the age of 30 when he began his public ministry. So Jesus was so human that he was mistaken for an ordinary carpenter. Amen. And then, of course, we know that he was tempted. And we have the temptations of Christ in Matthew chapter 4 in verses 1 through 11. We won't read all the verses, but let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. In verse number 1, we're told, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So we clearly have looked at some things that have shown that Jesus was subject to the laws of human development, another proof of the humanity of Christ. Next we want to look at, as we move along, point number F under the humanity of Christ, is Jesus was moved by the instincts of normal human beings. Jesus was moved by the instincts of normal human beings. For example, he hungered. Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. We're told, And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hungered. And then we want to look at also at Matthew 21 and verse 18. Matthew 21, 18. It says, Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. Not only that, but he thirsted. Look at in the Gospel of John, in verse number 4, where we have his great witnessing to the woman of Samaria at the well. And notice in John chapter 4, John chapter 4, in verse number 7, we read this. In John 4, 7, we read, There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. And obviously he wouldn't ask her to give him the drink if he wasn't thirsty. So he thirsted. Amen. We also see as he hung on the cross. In the Gospel of John, again, in chapter 19, in verse 28, we read in John 19:28, After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. So we see then, as again we're looking, we're in lesson 6 on the humanity of Christ, and we're looking at some proofs of the humanity of Christ, and we see that Jesus was moved by the instincts of normal human beings. We've seen that he hungered, he thirsted, amen? And he also became weary. He also became weary. Again, in the Gospel of John, in chapter number 4, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 4, in verse number 6, we read, Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, or noon. It was noon, amen? And he was wearied. And then we also see that he slept like any normal human being would. He slept. You know, he grew wearied, he tired, and he slept. And we see an example of this found in Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8 with me, in verse number 24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Amen. So we see that he slept. Amen. Even while the storm was going on and the waves were coming into the ship, he slept. We also see that he loved Jesus Christ also loved. Look at in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, in reference to the rich young ruler in Mark 10, notice what it says in verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, and follow me. But we read, then Jesus, beholding him, the rich young ruler, loved him. So Jesus loved. Amen. And also, in reference to in John chapter 11, in verse chapter 36, in reference to Lazarus, we read, Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. We see that Jesus loved Lazarus. Also, Jesus, he had compassion. He had compassion. That's one word that sticks out in my mind as we as I go through the Gospels and Jesus looks upon the crowds, the multitudes, we always read that he was moved with compassion. Looking in Matthew in this case, Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse number 36 with me. Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, referring to Jesus, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. So we see that he had compassion. We also, he had compassion over the cities, amen? Look at in Matthew chapter 23, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23 with me. Matthew 23, in verse number 37, we read this. Jesus is speaking. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He says, thou that killest the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gather her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. So we see that he's showing compassion here for Jerusalem and how he would have gathered them as children together, as even a hen gathers her chickens under her wing. We also see that he was angry and grieved. He was angry and grieved, amen. Again, we're looking in lesson 6 on some proofs of the humanity of Christ. And we're seeing how Jesus was moved in this particular section, how Jesus was moved by the instincts of normal human beings. So we see he was angered. He was angry. He got angry and grieved. Look at in Mark, for example, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3 with me. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 3. In Mark 3, we want to look at verse number 4. Mark 3, verse 4. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. See, I believe he was, you know, he was angry with the crowd, with the religious crowd when he said this, the hypocrites, because they were always trying to accuse him here as he was healing on the Sabbath. See, they're always trying to get Jesus on some point of technicality, amen. And I believe when he spoke to them, he was stern here, amen. And of course, we see him being angered and grieved when he went and he cleansed the temple. Look at in John chapter 2 with me. The Gospel of John chapter 2, verse 16. And he said unto thee, And he said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, and make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And we know in verse 15, it says, When he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured all out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. So he was certainly very angry at the mockery that they were making out of the temple, amen, out of his father's house, amen. And of course, if you want to see one of the greatest chapters against religious hypocrisy in the religious crowd of his day, or our day, is found in Matthew chapter 23. Amen. Matthew chapter 23. Let's just look at it. We won't read the whole chapter, but I can tell, I mean, as you read it, you can tell just the tone of voice that he used. He wasn't soft-soaping them, amen? He would just get up and he'd say over and over and over again, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites." And he just gave them a very, very strong rebuke, because he was angry, and I know he was grieved at what they were doing to the common folk, amen, through their hypocritical religion, amen. So we see that he was angry and grieved. We also see that he manifested reverential trust. Look at in Hebrews chapter 5 with me. We see example of this in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 in verse number 7. Hebrews 5, 7. We read, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard that he feared." You know, he had reverential trust in the Father, amen. Then also we see that he groaned. He groaned, we're told. Looking in John chapter 11 with me. John chapter 11. Again, we're seeing Jesus was moved by the instincts of normal human beings. And we're looking at John chapter 11, the Gospel of John chapter 11, in verse number 33. We read, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled." And of course, this is over the death. When it says, "When Jesus saw her weeping," of course, he's talking about Mary. Of course, Mary and Martha were Lazarus' brothers, and they were crying. They were sad over the death of their brother. And when Jesus saw them crying, he groaned in his spirit, and he was troubled. He also wept. We see in the same chapter of John 11, verse 35, it says, Jesus wept. Just simply, Jesus wept. We also see that he wept over the city of Jerusalem in Luke chapter 19. Let's turn to Luke chapter 19. In verse number 41, the Word of God says in Luke 19, 41, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." Also, we see that he prayed. That he prayed. In Matthew chapter 14 with me, in verse 23, we read, "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." So, again, what we've been looking at is some proofs of Christ's humanity, the humanity of Christ. And that's lesson number 6. What we're looking at is the humanity of Christ. And under section F, we just looked at actually 11 different things where we see Jesus was moved by the instincts of normal human beings. We saw that he was hungered, he thirsted, he became weary, he slept, He loved. He had compassion. He was angry and grieved. He manifested reverential trust. He groaned, he wept, and he prayed. Now, we want to look at and see, under lesson number 6, we're looking at point G now. Lesson 6, of course, entitled The Humanity of Christ. Point G, Jesus possessed body, soul, and spirit, just like you and I did. We see that, first of all, that Jesus had a body. Let's turn, first of all, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John with me, please, in verse, or chapter number 1. The Gospel of John, chapter number 1. And we want to look at verse number 14. John 1, verse 14. In the Word, okay, we know the Word is referring to Jesus Christ, was made flesh. So he had a body. God was manifest in the flesh. We also see this point in Hebrews, brought out in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, in verse number 14 with me. Hebrews 2:14, we read, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." In other words, he had flesh and blood. Amen? He had a body. And then we read in Matthew 26, Matthew chapter 26 with me, in verse 12, Matthew 26, verse 12, we read, "For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." And of course, he was speaking about his burial to come. And then we read in Luke chapter 23, Gospel of Luke in chapter 23, we see Jesus' body was buried. In Luke 23, in verses 52 to 56, we read, talking about this, as this man went unto Pilate, this man, of course, talking about Joseph of Arimathea, this man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. He took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And after that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And then in verse 56, "And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." So we see that Jesus clearly had a body. Now, Jesus also had a soul. Amen? We read in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 26 of Matthew, with me please, Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, in verse 38, Matthew 26, in verse number 38, we read, "Then saith he unto them," this is Jesus speaking, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Jesus tells us that at this point his soul was exceeding sorrowful. Amen. And then we see in Luke 23 and 43, that Jesus said in Luke 23:43, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Amen. And we know that Jesus' soul went to paradise at death. Amen. Because the body returned to the ground, the spirit was returned to the Father. So it was the soul that went to paradise. Then Jesus had a spirit. which returned to the Father at death. Notice what he says again in Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. Jesus said, when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. So we see clearly that Jesus possessed body, soul, and spirit. Again, showing proofs of the humanity, another proof of the humanity of Christ. Amen. Then we see that Jesus died. The biological culmination of life is death. Man is born to die, is he not? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die. Jesus met his death by crucifixion on the cross of Calvary in the prime of life. We read in Luke 23:33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And then in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, we read, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Yes, Jesus came to earth to die, and death was the major proof of his humanity. And then finally, as we conclude lesson 6 on the humanity of Christ, Jesus still possesses a body even after his resurrection. Because he said in Luke 24:39, he said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see me. See, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And then he told Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 27, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And in Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56, Stephen at his martyrdom saw Jesus standing at God's right hand. Jesus was human and like us in all but two points. He did not possess a sin nature, and he was sinless, for he never committed one sin. Well, that concludes lesson number 6 on the humanity of Christ. And as we end tape number 4, side 1. And when we meet again, we'll pick up with lesson number 7, entitled The Sinlessness of Christ. The Sinlessness of Christ.